Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
5:05, welcome back and welcome in. Hour number two of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until, well, we'll say 6:30 on all three frequencies, and then after that it's just on our FMs, 106.3 and 107.5. Why is that? Because at 6:30 on 1600 AM, we're going to join up with the Cyclone Radio Network at Hilton Coliseum in Ames as John Walters brings you all of the action between Iowa State and Milwaukee, formerly the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, a program that's had some pretty good coaches pass through in the last couple decades, including one who's lucky he's still got a job down in Auburn, but that's neither here nor there. Great show remaining for you tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, we'll take a look at how the Butch Jones firing in Knoxville, Tennessee, affects the coaching carousel that is likely to spin with possibly multiple Big Ten openings. That's because, well, the guy who could be, the guy who will be in Iowa City this weekend on the visiting sideline could be in line for one of those jobs. We'll talk about that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, it is not officially basketball season until we hear from this man. Basketball season tipped off officially on Friday, but officially it's here because Mac McCausland is joining us on the program, the longtime Hawkeye TV commentator. And Mac, how'd you spend your off season? How many times did you go to Vegas?
Probably got there five times.
If you're having a hard time remembering how many times it was probably a hell of an off season.
It was a great off season, and one of the great times out there. And I think mentioned it before. In your basketball life, you have to one time go to Vegas for the NBA Summer League. It's just outstanding. It's generally the first round picks, some second round picks, and then maybe even people in their second, third, or fourth year in the league that don't get a chance to play a lot, get to show their wares. Tons of European coaches are there, over from Asia, as well as all NBA people, and the players just walk among the crowd. It's just really terrific. They do a great job in promotion for kids. They have kid games. And this is at the Thomas Mack Arena, where UNLV plays their game. So it's a huge event this year when Lonzo Ball played his first game. They actually sold out Thomas and Mac with about 22,000 seats.
Very impressive. Well, let's talk a little. Let's start with talking about the Hawkeyes here because they've played the college basketball equivalent of the Washington Generals here, the first two games, Chicago State and Alabama State. What can you take away from two games that Iowa was basically assured that it was going to win by 25, 30 points?
Yeah, and I had a chance to do the game for Big Ten To Go Network, and progress, I think Coach McCaffrey said that. I thought the first game was very, very typical of trying to get everybody on the same page, get used to the rotation that's going to be very quick in Big Ten games. Because in practice, you stay with that same group that you're playing with for probably 10 or 15 minutes at a time. This way, you had to be ready for 90 seconds or for 5 minutes. In one case, Ahmad Wagner got yanked in about the first 20 seconds of the game for making a major error. So it's a way different atmosphere. Second game, a lot more continuity, and very impressive when you looked at what Jack Nungi and Luka Garza did for two freshmen that are 6'11", 7 foot. Nungi is actually playing a wing position. I mean, he is tall, but he's not playing what you'd normally refer to as one of the bigs. But Iowa's bigs are very, very good there. Very unselfish. Garza went 6-for-6 in his first collegiate game. And Pemsel returns. Obviously, Cook with his athletic ability. And then Wagner. And then Kreener. I mean, you've got probably the tallest, longest five players that play post positions in the country. Now, there's other people that have better individual post players, but collectively, this is as good a group as I think you're going to find anywhere. So offensive rebounding will become very effective. They have found that, you know, Brady is still shooting it well. You know Bohannon will. Bear, when he comes back, will have all kinds of confidence. And Luka Garza, it won't surprise me if he shoots 35 to 38% from the arc. And Nungi likes to shoot it. So this team's going to really spread people out. And it certainly won't be like leading Peter Jock to score 18 to 25 points or even that many and a half sometimes. They're just probably not going to have anybody average more than 15 points a game.
Mac, the Achilles heel for this team last year in losses especially, and especially on the road, was the defensive end of the court. How do they go about improving that this year?
I think they'll still have some problems on the perimeter with quickness, especially if Nungi's going to go out there. Now, he's long, and his arms can keep people away from driving and so forth. And then you have Isaiah Moss, who's also about 6'6", but he's not overly quick at the defensive end. But I think the biggest difference is going to be rim protectors. I mean, when you look at just the five posts I mentioned, that's 25 fouls you can give. Now, that's more than Iowa averaged as a team. And I'm not saying you want to go foul, but there's no reason that anybody should be afraid to foul or to foul out because the depth of the bench, depth of the rim protectors is going to be there. And both Garza and Nungi are very talented at blocking shots away from their man. And that's where most of your blocks come from. It isn't guarding somebody and blocking their shot. It's being able to rotate and help. And then when the shot goes up, come from behind and hit it.
Mac McCausland joining us talking a little Hawkeye hoops and then some today. If you got a question for Mac, you can use the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. What are your reasonable expectations for Connor McCaffrey this year? He wasn't even supposed to be out there on the floor, but with Christian Williams leaving the program, very little choice for Fran McCaffrey.
Yep. In fact, that may work out to really be a good addition for Iowa. That way, Connor's not taking a year off. He certainly knows the caliber of play that he's getting into. I mean, just where he has played AAU at a very high level. And, of course, just working out with the Iowa players over the last 2-3 years, just in pickup games. He knows what the plan is. He knows Fran's offense extremely well. So I'm going to tell you, I think, at the offensive end, he is going to see the court extremely well. I think he'll be very impressive. He doesn't necessarily make the flashy no-look pass, but he knows how to feed the post, ball fake, move the ball one side to the other, bounce pass it in, or throw a little alley-oop. He's a terrific passer to the post. His shot is not as good as it's going to be, I don't think, but it's already gotten better. I noticed when he was shooting around the other day that a lot more arch on it and a high release point. which he's going to need to do when he approaches the basket or does his little run and flipper. The defensive end, once again, I think is going to be probably his shortcoming in terms of the speed he's going to face all the time. But the other fact about our defense, I think, is they could play some zone. It could really be difficult. I mean, if you wanted to put Connor McCaffrey and Moss out on the front two spots, I mean, you're going to go 6-5 and 6-7. And then we have definitely seen Nungy, Pencil, and Cook play along the back line. And then you still got Garza to bring in. And somebody that's like Wagner has always been a really good defensive player and intensity there. So I think, Connor's going to just let the game come to him. He's very good at that. He doesn't have to score. He is definitely one of those that likes to win, and he's been brought up that way. And the thing he does best, like I say, is keep his teammates happy, getting them the ball, and he understands how to do it.
Meg, I think everybody that watches this team or covers this team agrees that the depth of the front court and the depth overall is the strength for this Iowa basketball team. This is kind of a two-part question. First of all, how deep can a rotation realistically go? And the second part, who are those players in the non-conference against these not necessarily top-level competition that are fighting for those last couple of spots within that rotation?
Yeah. Obviously, it's hard to rotate minutes in one game to make everybody happy. But I think, and part of it was shown last year, I think Coach McCaffrey keeps everybody pretty happy. And the one reason I can say that is look how many players came back from last year. Daly didn't get a lot of minutes. Brady was some minutes here, then not very minutes next game. And so, Isaiah Moss, you're not sure because he was backing up Jock. I mean, all these players came back, so I think they really enjoy the style of play. And now when you go through a 5-game, 10-game stretch, you are going to be able to rotate minutes, where in some cases Bohannon may have to have 30 minutes and Connor will have 8 or 10. Next game, Connor may have 18 minutes, and Bohannon just 16. It's going to be a matter of who they play and style that they're going to play, but I don't think they're going to have much trouble. The one thing I've definitely seen at practices, and I think you can see it on the court during the games, these kids like each other. There hasn't been one or two people that you can see pouting and not happy with what's going on, because I think they feel already they could be a part of a very special team, and that makes you feel pretty good to know you're one of the pieces, and you do get to play good minutes some games. You just have to accept the fact, and if you get two early fouls, you're coming out. Coach McCaffrey's not going to play you, and if you get him in the first 4 minutes, you're going to lose the next 16 minutes of playing time because it's going to go to somebody else. So I still look at the rotation easily 10 every game. And you got guys that are, like you said, fighting for minutes. One person, the only senior, Dom Yule, I think he's going to have some substantial trouble getting to see a lot of minutes on the court. Then you look at Brady Ellingson when Connor comes back. Now you got Connor and Bohannon, who are true point guards, and then you've got Brady going back to the wing, but you got Isaiah Moss there. You also have Nicholas Baer that can play that. Macy Daly had a terrific game last night, double digits, looked really good, quick. So I think, Brady could have trouble in certain games getting minutes. And then there'll always be a big, for whatever reason, they'll get in foul trouble. I mean, they'll answer it themselves as to who's going to play and who isn't, just because they can be so aggressive and really bother teams. And then you got Macy Daly, who is starting to definitely knock on door for more minutes. So right now I would say it will rotate as one of the bigs. It'll be fighting for minutes. It'll be Daly, Brady and Dom Muehl will be the guys that really need to make statements every time they get in.
Mac 5144 on the text line. I think I've known you long enough to know what your answer to this question is going to be, but they want to know 10 to 12 man rotation, will it last or is it going to get condensed as the season continues on?
If something drastic happens, and I would have to say it would take a serious injury, or it would have to take, you know, eligibility, something like that, I think there will be that 10 rotation, but the 10 people will be a rotated at the bottom three spaces. Like I said, when you play Michigan State, all the bigs will get a lot of minutes, as much as they can, because that's what you're going to have to do there. When you play Minnesota, you know, they don't have much size, and they really like to press. So you're going to see ball handlers in there a little bit more. So it's going to last all year, but I think who's going to be in that 10-man, 9-man rotation is going to rotate quite a bit. And one of the real reasons you can do it is a person like Nick Bear literally can play four positions. So he can come in and help you when you need somebody quicker, when you need somebody to run the court, block shots. We know what kind of player he is. He really doesn't have a position. So as you look at some of these guys, and Nungy's another one that's young, I mean, you've got him playing a 3, 4, or 5 potentially on a freshman year. They'll try and, you know, focus on just 1 or 2 positions so he can learn it well. But there is just a lot of possibilities. Obviously, one is Bohannon going to the 2-guard. And then you got a terrific shooter, and you got 2-point guards in there that can go ahead and create off the dribble and are willing to pass. So, again, I'd say you're going to see 10 people almost in every game.
And Joe on the text line wants to know your thoughts on Iowa's preseason prediction. A couple places had the Hawkeyes finishing 8th in the Big Ten. What's the ceiling for this team this year, in your opinion?
Depends how they come together, and that's, you know, avoiding the question from the obvious. But this team, in my opinion, could challenge for the top 2 spots. And I agree with the caller that or texter that indicated, you know, I didn't understand where Iowa. I mean, I saw one magazine put them 9th, and I think this team is too experienced, too talented, extremely long. I just don't see them placing any lower than probably 5th or tied for 6th, somewhere in that area. But more than likely, I would like to really see the 3rd or 4th spot be challenged for, and if things fall in the right way, and, you know, it's one of those things again, who do you play twice and when do you play them and where do you play them, that determines a lot of a Big Ten positioning. As we talked, I think last year Iowa finishes 10-8 and they go to the NIT. The year before they finished 9-9 and go to the NCAA. So a lot of it, I think, is looked at about who you played and how you finished and so forth.
Mac, I know Fran and everybody has been really high on Tyler Cook and his talent. How do you think his game is going to evolve? What differences do you think we're going to see from his freshman to his sophomore year?
Patience. He loves to get down, you know, on the block area or maybe about 10 feet away, and then he can turn, pivot, and take one dribble, drive, and dunk. And he's learned to really be patient with that. He lets the other teammates clear out of side so he can go in. His shot is a little better. I'm not going to jump up and down yet. Actually, when you look at all the post players, except Kreener, free throws, I mean, that's a 50% shooting group, which is not very good. And it started out that way this year. So they've got to get some better free throws. And when Cook can start making 70, 75% of his free throws, I mean, he will be unstoppable because he's going to get fouled around the rim. And, you know, that'll just add 3 to 5 points per game that he'll be able to put up. And he has really become a very good passer. He had a pass last night that he received the ball kind of at the top of the key. And he just grabbed the ball with one hand, turned his hand towards the basket, and dumped it down inside the pencil. Never really caught it, but had very good vision. in anticipation of where he wanted to go with it.
Mac, we appreciate it as always. Really quick before we let you go, probably in about 60 seconds here, your thoughts on Iowa State and UNI as the season is underway for both of those teams as well.
Yeah, I think Iowa State played Missouri, and it did surprise me that it was, I think, 19-point. But then when you really start to break it down a little bit more, Missouri's got Michael Porter, who will probably go 1, 2, or 3 in the draft, just a freshman. Then I think Iowa State certainly lost an awful lot last year. Morris is just terrific, and I got a chance to see him at the NBA summer camp, and he looked like he belonged already at that level. Naz Long, a great shooter. So they've lost a lot of talent that produced a lot of points and had a lot of experience. So I think Steve's going to have to just be patient with this group and see what happens. And I don't think the talent is quite at the same level that it had been before. And he's going to have to play a freshman point guard. And we know that's always tough. Some people adapt to it very well. And others, it takes a year or so. UNI, they start out with North Carolina. And that's a tough way to go down there. They've got good size. They are just going to have to find more consistent shooters on the outside and point guard play that can create like they did when they had Wes Washburn. He was a special talent, very quick in that league, and they just don't quite have people at that level that we have seen so far in this team.
Great stuff as always, Mac. I'm glad basketball season is here. We look forward to our next chat with you next week.
Yeah, I've lost my withdrawal symptoms. I feel pretty good now.
If that occurs again, I hear a trip to Las Vegas is a good cure for that.
And, hey, I may have you come along.
You know what? That doesn't sound too bad right now. Appreciate it, Mac.
See you guys.
Thanks. 5:26. We'll step aside and take a quick timeout, a very quick timeout. And when we return, Kyle will have another big board update for you. Hawkeye Talk still to come. We're going to continue it. We'll just switch back to football. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joins us in just a few minutes.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to pop money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high tech and high touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider fumbling the ball?
Ooh.
It's time for help from the bench.
I'm out.
Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the team from Future Systems today at 1-800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Told you it was going to be a quick one. Here's Kyle. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Iowa had a pretty rough time in Madison on Saturday, but with that said, Josh Jackson is as hot as a defensive back can be, and today was named a co-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week after housing two pick sixes to give the Hawkeyes their only points of the day. He's the first Hawkeye to win the award in back-to-back weeks, and he leads the country with 23 passes defended and 7 interceptions. Luka Garza's off to a fast start for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team. He was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his play in his first two games, averaging team best with 13.5 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks. He also became just the fifth Hawkeye in the last 20 years to record a double-double in his first or second game, recording 11 points and 13 boards in only 19 minutes on Sunday. It wasn't just the guys who looked good this weekend. Junior Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week after putting up some incredible numbers of her own over the weekend. She had 16-15 in a win over Quinnipiac on Friday and followed with a career-high 35 points and 17 rebounds against Western Kentucky on Saturday. 18 of those points came in the fourth quarter and overtime as the Hawkeyes made a 10-point comeback. Quick shout-out to former Hawkeye Adrian Claiborne, who had a Falcons franchise record 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a recovery against the Cowboys. He's going to be your AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Tonight at 6:35, we'll hop off the air on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and pass things off to Iowa State basketball taking on Milwaukee. And after we finish it up on the FMs, we'll carry Monday Night Football between the Dolphins and Panthers on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
All right, the Hawkeyes will be back in action on the hardwood Thursday. They've got Grambling State coming to town. We'll mention that since we just finished up talking with Mac McCausland. Rob Howe is going to join us next, but in between now and then, if you call our number 6 to 319-366-1600, you're going to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. They've got three locations, including their newest in the Fountains off Edgewood. Don't forget, if you're having a meeting, family get-together, any sort of gathering, they've got a big party room that's available for your use. 366-1600, caller number 6, as long as your name's not Rob Howe. We'll meet you next. We'll talk with Rob, talking Hawkeyes after this.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. Breaking news into the Sports Center newsroom.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Thank you, John Sterling. During the year, WFAN, Aaron Judge, a unanimous winner of the American League Rookie of the Year Award. He got all 30 first place votes by the Baseball Writers Association of America. It was just announced. Aaron Judge, 52 home runs this year. He helped the Yankees get to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Judge is also a finalist for the MVP award. The NL Rookie of the Year is going to be announced later tonight. It will pretty much go to Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers. NFL, Monday Night Football, 2 hours from now. We'll kick it off. Carolina and the Miami Dolphins. Carolina coming in with a record of 6-3. Miami is 4-4 on the year. Texans head coach Bill O'Brien says he's sticking with Tom Savage as he is quarterback. Italy, four-time World Cup champ, not going. Bounced out this year.
Book your first business trip at Upside.com to get two great gifts this holiday season. A better business travel experience and a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Just use code BOMANI at Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
The Amazon Black Friday Deals Week is coming soon, with deals across every department. That's all the deals you're looking for, all in one place, available wherever you are. Plus, get free shipping on over 100 million items, with eligible orders over $25. Good times. The Amazon Black Friday Deals Week, from November 17th to 24th.
Get ready to door bust. Rent-A-Center's pre-Black Friday door busters are here. This Friday through Wednesday, you can shop insane pre-Black Friday deals on the brands you want most. Come early for door busters like an LG 4K TV, Xbox One, Samsung Galaxy Phone, and Beats by Dre headphones for crazy low weekly payments. But you better hurry before the best door busters are gone. Only at Rent-A-Center. Big brands, small payments. Rental purchase lease transaction. Participating locations only. See manager for details.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's the perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
One of these days, I'll learn how to properly do things here in the KGYM studios. 5:36, hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, continuing with Alex Kuhn and our producer, Kyle Mann. Just a reminder, coming up tonight at 6:30, we will be on the FM frequencies only, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. That's because on 1600 AM, we'll join up with the Cyclone Radio Network. It's the Panthers of the University of Milwaukee coming to Hilton Coliseum to take on Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. Iowa State starting its season last week with a loss at Missouri. Plenty more to come. If you just missed the announcement on SportsCenter, Aaron Judge, the unanimous American League Rookie of the Year, National League, set to announce its Rookie of the Year coming up in about 10 minutes. I would expect Cody Bellinger will most likely be a possible unanimous selection there as well. Joining us now on the program, you hear him every Friday during the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. It's Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. And Rob, you were in Madison on Saturday. I would ask you what you saw, but you saw what we all witnessed, and that's Iowa just doing a complete 180 from last Saturday. How do you explain it?
I don't have an explanation. I was as baffled as everybody else. It was a historically awful offensive performance. 66 yards, 0-for-13 on third downs. I got to the point in my column where I was like, I felt like I was piling on when I was, you know, going through how inept the offense was. I don't think we can, you know, discount how special teams played into that either, especially early in that game. Iowa was losing, much like it did at, you know, at Northwestern at times and a lot at Michigan State. It lost the field position battle. It wasn't fielding punts, and it wasn't punting well. Two things that are pretty basic special teams areas that they're not doing well. You know, through 10 weeks of the season, they're still struggling with.
You lead me right into a question I was going to ask you at some point during this segment. How much are those two units hurting this team right now, especially on the road when the offense is struggling?
I think it's big, Alex, because, you know, you guys are around this team. They talk about complementary football and how the three phases all play into each other and help each other out and pick each other up when one is down. You know, it wasn't a great defensive performance on Saturday. They gave up a lot of rushing yards, and that's, you can't do that against Wisconsin. But it just felt like all three of those phases played in some part to having an afternoon that just was, you know, forgettable for Iowa fans.
So where do the Hawkeyes go from here? They've got Purdue coming up this weekend, and then it's a short turnaround to Nebraska. Mike Riley may or may not be coaching the Huskers at that point. Sounds like there's some rumblings from the Huskers that he'll at least finish out the season. These are two winnable games ahead of them. How do they put what happened last week in the rearview mirror?
It's a good question, Todd. I think at this point, and I also wrote this in the column, it's kind of self-motivation at this point. You know, the Big Ten West is gone again. Wisconsin wins it again, third time in 4 years. So you're leaving there knowing that whether you want to, you know, face that fact or not, Wisconsin is superior to you right now as a program. And that in the off season is something you're going to have to address again. But for the rest of this season, there's nothing you can do about that. All you can go out and do is finish 8-4, which is a respectable season. And then I think most importantly, go out and not get your butt kicked in a bowl game. I really think to get momentum going into this next season, you need to win these two last games, these last two games, where you'll be favored and are the better team. And then you're not going to have a world beater in that bowl game. Well, you know, if it's Music City and it's an SEC team, it's going to be a middle of the road SEC team. You got to show up for that bowl game. I think for fans to be to feel good about this year, and for the team to get momentum going into next year, they've got to win these last three games.
You wrote in your column, and you just brought it up, that you felt that Wisconsin was the superior program, at least for the last decade. You said that Kirk Ferentz balked at that a little bit, talking about execution and yada, yada, yada. But Wisconsin, it just seemed like they were able to control the game. You mentioned that Iowa's defense didn't play poorly on Saturday, but Wisconsin, for the most part, other than the turnovers, ran the football the way they wanted to, were able to complement it with the passing game at times, and just seemed like it just seemed like a mismatch at most positions. Is that what you saw on Saturday?
Yeah, Alex, it seemed like that for the most part. You know, there are obviously positions on Iowa's team that I think they're right there or better. I mean, Josh Jackson could play on most teams, Josie Drew-Joel, things like that. I know that's kind of not what you're asking, but Iowa was not good on the offensive line, and that is bread and butter for the Iowa program. It was just not good. And I know there's two freshmen at offensive tackle, and there needs to be a little bit of leeway there. But Wisconsin's had a lot of injuries this year, too. They've been hit pretty hard at their linebacker core, still looked good at linebacker. They're missing their top two receivers. They still looked pretty good at receiver. Iowa has not been able to, I guess, put a Band-Aid on their wounds this year. That offensive line has struggled mightily throughout the year, and I think that was the big difference on Saturday. The Wisconsin offensive line dominated Iowa's defensive line, and it was the other way around when you know, Iowa had the ball. It could not figure out where that fourth guy was coming from more often than not, and it just, that fourth guy was either blitzing and grabbing the running back before he got going, or he was getting Stanley on his back or affecting his throws. And then there were the drop passes too, which is another broken record we've been through all this, you know, throughout this season.
Let's talk about the receivers for a second. You bring up Wisconsin, and I guess I hadn't seen them much coming into the year, but they didn't need to throw the ball all that often, but it looks like they do have some talent on the outside a lot more, especially at the receiver position, than Iowa. Did that stick out at all to you?
Yeah, I was a little surprised, to be honest with you, Alex. Those guys are young. I think there were two freshmen and a sophomore. And like we said, they're without Cephas and they're without Jazz Peavy. They're two who you would figure are their top two receivers. And other than Hornibrook making some poor decisions and some poor throws, those receivers, I mean, they found ways to get open and, you know, sat down in Iowa's zone or got a man-to-man and made some really nice catches. They made catches that Iowa didn't make. We talked, you know, about drops. You know, that one series, I think it was 17-14 still, and then Stanley fumbled it and they returned it for a touchdown. Fant dropped a pass on that drive, and I think Nick Easley also dropped a pass on that drive. And so it was almost like, okay, I was going to find ways to, you know, stall drives or, you know, handicap their drives while Wisconsin continually made plays to keep their drives alive.
Rob Howe joining us from HawkeyeNation.com. What type of game are you expecting on Saturday from Purdue?
That's a good question. They've certainly suffered their injuries as well this year. It's hard to say. They got down. I didn't watch the Northwestern game, obviously, because I was coming back from Madison, but they got down, and it seemed like they didn't fold. They came back and at least tried to make a game of it, you know. But they seem to have lost some of that luster early in the season. I think it's a game where if Iowa can get out early and start fast, which has been a struggle at times this year other than Josh Jackson or Amani Hooker returning an interception for a touchdown to start the game. But I think we'll know early on in that game if Iowa's ready, if they have been able to overcome or bounce back from what happened to it in Madison. If they can get out to an early start, they should be able to run the ball. And if they can get a decent lead early in the game, I like their chances.
Josh Jackson, Kirk Ferentz was not exactly pleased about the NFL talk last week. Yet during the game, you saw a lot of his former players, Marvin McNutt and Jaleel Johnson, suggesting that he'll be a first round pick. Is the writing on the wall at this point?
Man, it sure seems to be trending in that direction, Alex. It's if Kirk didn't like the talk last week, he's not going to like it this week either, and it's just going to continue because the kid is—he's really just a really good player. He's prepared and he's talented, and that's just that combination makes him such a good player. He's aware of where things are going on the field. He's really good at reading offenses, where the plays are going, and then when it gets there, he has such good ball skills that he's a great story this year. There have been a lot of disappointments, but he is he's been a revelation. You lose Desmond King and Greg Maben, and this kid comes and has just kind of taken the Big Ten and to some degree the nation by storm.
You mentioned 8 wins as a possibility earlier if they can beat Purdue and Nebraska. Bowl game scenario, you brought up Music City. At this point, what's the most likely destination looking for an 8-win Iowa team if the Hawkeyes do get to that point?
It's so complex, Todd, and you know this from looking at this stuff, that because of these contracts now, you have like the tax player and the Music City, they split, you know, they have a split contract with the Big Ten, and then the Pinstripe has a goofy contract where they want, you know, they were told that they're going to get a different Big Ten team, you know, each year, which makes it really tough just logistically. It looks like just from where we sit today that could be anything from Holiday to Music City, Pinstripe, and Foster Farms. I think all 4 of those you have to consider being in play. And out of those, I would say the best bets at this point would probably be Music City and Pinstripe. And that's me just kind of throwing darts because I still think we need to find out what happens these last 2 weeks because the Big Ten in the country in college football has been goofy this year. So I would not surprise me if there are some unexpected results here in the last couple weeks.
Well, you mentioned that, and after getting an up-close look at Wisconsin over the weekend, do you think they're going to be there at the end for a discussion among either the top 4 or at least the New Year's 6?
They'll be at least New Year's 6, and I think if they can win out, they'll win. I think they'll win these last 2 games, but again, Michigan beating them would not shock me because Michigan has a really good defense, and that could be a game. What many people thought Iowa, Wisconsin would be coming down to the fourth quarter, 2 defenses battling it. Wisconsin's defense is legit. There's no doubt about that. And as we were talking about earlier, the offense has pieces. It's a matter of they can put it together. I think they'll win these last 2, and then they'll probably get Ohio State. And if they can beat Ohio State, you know, with a nice win in the Big Ten championship game, depending on what happens, you know, in other parts of the country and with other conferences, an undefeated Big Ten champ, having beaten Michigan and Ohio State in 2 of their last 3 games, I think they get in.
Is Alex Hornibrook the one big question mark you have with this team?
Yeah, just decision-making, Alex. I mean, we saw the other day the two throws that, not taking anything away from Josh Jackson, but those could have been avoided. He overthrew on the second pick, just an unnecessary throw, and then early on it was a bad read. Great play by Jackson, but I think he also fumbled it once too. He's just, when you have a quarterback that's not taking care of the football, that's always concerning, especially when you don't have an offense that's high-powered enough to overcome that. You're looking to get chunks of yards on the ground and utilize your running game, and when you're turning the ball over, it decreases your margin for error. So he's really just got to clean it up. I think if he can just manage the game, I know people hate to hear that, the game manager, you know, tag, but I think if he can do that with this team, that's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to be a hero because there are other pieces. Taylor's just a fabulous running back, and like we said, their defense is good enough to keep him in the game and you know, put him in position to win if he will just not turn it over and put them in bad position.
Rob, before we part ways with you, at least on a Monday, because we think we're going to be hearing from you again coming up on Friday, but your early thoughts through two games on the Iowa basketball season so far?
My early thoughts are they look really good, as good, and they should, against the competition that they're playing. The two teams, Chicago State and Alabama State, just not a quality opponent. I think it's a continuation probably of the European All-Star Tour just on American soil. So, but, you know, Garza's played well. I kind of wrote this, you know, after covering yesterday's game. They should be beating up on these teams, and they're doing that, so that's a good sign. And hopefully it's helping them build confidence, continuity, it's getting Fran comfortable with rotations, things like that, to when the competition does ramp up a little bit. But, you know, with a young team, you're missing Bear, you're missing Connor McCaffrey as your backup point guard. Not all bad to play teams that you should handle. And like I said, they're handling them.
Well, we'll be breaking down the Iowa Grambling State game with you on Friday, and I don't think that's what you had in mind when you were talking about taking a step up in competition. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a good afternoon.
And Rob's column after the Wisconsin game was one of the first ones that I read online, and some pretty good stuff in there. It's going to hit home, and if you're an Iowa fan, it's probably going to be difficult to read, but like he said, and I had the same feeling reading it, okay, at what point here is it just kicking a team when it's down? And he said he realized that and came to that conclusion himself. But Wisconsin has proven that it's in a little bit better shape over the last decade than Iowa is program-wise. And unfortunately for the Hawkeyes, there will not be an appearance of the Heartland Trophy in the atrium of the football complex.
It just has to do with consistency. And I think a lot, that's an argument that a lot of Hawkeye fans will bring up when talking about their team. And we just absolutely, over the last 10 days, saw a perfect example of that. The way they looked against Ohio State gave people hope, and then it was taken away by the performance in Madison. And I'm not, that was clearly to the extreme effect. You don't quite usually see that high and then that low, but there has been some inconsistency, and you just look at the four losses that they have this year, where the most points that they scored in a game were 19 points, and that's pretty much what this 2017 team has been. And if they can finish 8-4 or 7-5 or 6-6, I don't think much will change about the narrative of this year.
Well, we had an American League player become the unanimous Rookie of the Year in that league. The same has been said for the National League. Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers, unanimous choice for Rookie of the Year in the senior circuit. So Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger, winners of the first of the major offseason baseball awards. 5:53, we'll step aside, take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you as we creep in on the close of hour number two. By the way, congratulations going out belatedly to Kevin in Cedar Rapids. He was the winner of today's $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Remember, you can check him out before you visit one of their three locations at LaCantina319.com. Back with more after this.
Rugged, tough, made to last. That's what you need from your work clothes. And that's why Keke's Career Apparel carries Carhartt. These aren't clothes for looking pretty. They're made to get the job done. Keke's carries all the best from Carhartt in sizes up to 5XL. And if you need a special order, they'll take care of that at no charge too. Keke's Career Apparel and Carhartt. Hardworking clothes for hardworking people. 222 3rd Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids and at KIEKS.com.
This isn't a plug for Honda generators. It's actually a lot of plugs. Honda generators offer quiet, reliable, and efficient power to energize your next tailgate party, for your home during an electrical outage, to power your tools on the job site, and take on your next camping trip. These gasoline power generators have easy starting and dependable Honda engines. See the full line of Honda power equipment at Acme Tools, 1943 Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
5:54, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa had a pretty rough go in Madison on Saturday, but with that said, Josh Jackson is as hot as a defensive back can be, and today was named a co-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week after housing two pick sixes to give the Hawkeyes their only points of the day. He's the first Hawkeye to win the award in back-to-back weeks, and he leads the country with 23 passes defended and 7 interceptions. Luka Garza is off to a fast start for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team. He was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his play in his first two games, averaging team best with 13.5 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks. He also became just the fifth Hawkeye in the last 20 years to report a double-double in his first or second game. It wasn't just the guys who looked good this weekend. Junior Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week after putting up some incredible numbers of her own over the weekend. She had 16 and 15 in a win over Quinnipiac on Friday and followed with a career-high 35 points and 17 rebounds against Western Kentucky on Saturday. A quick shout-out to former Hawkeye Adrian Claiborne, who had a Falcons franchise record 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a recovery against the Cowboys. He's going to be your NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Tonight at 6:35, we'll hop off the air on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and pass things off to Iowa State basketball taking on Milwaukee. And after we finish up on the FMs, we'll carry Monday Night Football between the Dolphins and Panthers on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
As Kyle just mentioned, that Iowa State game coming your way on 1600 AM tonight at the bottom of hour number 3. That means if you're listening to us on 106.3 FM or 107.5 FM in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively, we will part ways early tonight on 1600 AM, and you'll catch us the final 30 minutes on those FM frequencies, so keep note of that. Lots of baseball news and nuggets coming out, including today's winners for the American League and National League Rookie of the Year voting, and a crazy story out of Kansas City, actually out of Georgia, where Kansas City manager Ned Yost lives in the off season, but the Royals manager almost died in an accident on his property there in Georgia. He was out checking some hunting stands and was about 20 feet off the ground in a tree when one of the stands gave way. He fell down, broke his hip, I think suffered about 4 broken ribs, a punctured lung, and he thinks he would have bled out had he not had his cell phone on him. He was able to call and get some help, so tragedy averted there for Ned Yost, who last week brought Cal Eldred on board as the new pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals. Only one team still looking for a managerial hire at this point, and that would be, well, the team that has the unanimous American League Rookie of the Year, Aaron Judge. Yankees still looking for their next skipper to replace Joe Girardi. Something happened over the weekend, and just because I wasn't here on Friday, don't think I didn't know what it was. We'll talk about that and more as we kick off hour number 3 next.